condolences to you on the loss of President Carter.
I take that as a real nice thing to say because he was a friend of mine.
Why don't you tell us about why you became an agent and how you became an agent and got on President Carter's detail?
Fate is a funny thing. My wife and I were from Illinois, and she kept wrecking our cars in the bad weather, so we decided to go to a warmer place. And her sister was married to a Miami Dolphin football player who was on the perfect season team down there. Carl Noonan was his name. And so we forcibly moved from Illinois to Miami, and I got a job teaching down there and hang out with Greasy and Noonan and all the boys with the Dolphins. And then it just so happened my neighbor across the hall from me, his son was a Secret Service agent in our condominium. And I got to, and then I would take his kids, this neighbor's son's kids, to the Dolphin games to get to meet the Dolphins. And so they were impressed by me. And one day the agent took me golfing, and he said, how do you make a living teaching school down here? I said, well, I'm making $6,600 a year, and I get by. He said, well, why don't you be a Secret Service agent? And the rest is history. I don't know what you mean, Secret Service agent. How could I do that? And all you needed was a college degree, and his best buddy happened to be the boss in the Miami Secret Service office. He said, so when you go interview with him, make sure you tell him your wife's brother-in-law is with the Miami Dolphins because he's got a season ticket.
No kidding.
So politics being the way it was, I got hired.
How'd you get on President Carter's detail?
I was actually stationed, my first post of duty was at the Charlotte office, and there was a notice out towards President Carter's end of his first term, and there was some possibilities that he may not make it. And even if he did, because of the mess in the Middle East, the president decided and others that maybe the grandchildren and his son should get Secret Service protection because of the mess in the Middle East. So they asked for volunteers to go to Stone Mountain, Georgia. And my first presidential assignment for a permanent protectee was a three-year-old, James Earl Carter IV. So, yeah, it was great.
And you obviously got to work for President Carter's detail personally,
right? Right. What happened then was when President Carter lost the election, then they were asking for volunteers to go to his former present detail, which we do. We protect former presidents. And we were hoping that he was going to retire and move to Atlanta, and we lived outside Atlanta. So I was selfishly thinking, hey, good move for me. I'll volunteer to be on his detail. And it didn't happen. He moved to Plains, Georgia permanently, and so we had to relocate to Albany, Georgia. And I was on his former president detail.
For how many years were you on
his detail? Just a couple of years. It just so happened that they were making some moves. But in that 2 years, we traveled extensively all around the world, many different continents, basically for him trying to get peaceful leaders in countries that were communist. So we traveled extensively, but I was his jogging buddy. He was a big jogger, and I jogged with many, many different protectees. That was my deal. And so we spent a lot of quiet times jogging down dirt roads in Plains, Georgia, just the two of us. For the former president, it's really a great experience because if you're with a real sitting president, unless you're a big boss, he doesn't even know your name after 3 or 4 years. He doesn't really know who you are or anything about you. But when you're with a former president, they get really into your life. He loved my wife and my kids, and so it was a real personal thing. We'd be sitting by a bonfire at his home, his other home up in Georgia, and he'd walk down and sit down with him and just shoot the breeze. He used to jog with me, and I remember one time he was asking me about what I thought about that Iranian mess. And I thought, you're asking me? He was just doing it to bust my chops because he knew I didn't know what to say. So we had great personal times.
Tell me a little bit about the travels, because we know so much about what President Carter did abroad post-presidency. Sure. And the Nobel Peace Prize and all that he did.
Sure.
You traveled with him, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
him on the road and in these foreign countries and the work that he was doing.
It was usually him and her. Usually when they went anywhere, he took her everywhere. And it was very low key. We didn't have a bunch of media with us. It was just his guys and us. And he was so down to earth and so personable that real easy to work with, real easy to do advance. I did an advance for him in Togo on the Ivory Coast in Africa. And he went up to see a missionary friend. But we got run out of the country by the sitting king of Togo was not happy with what Carter was doing, trying to get people to vote democratically of some sort. So they gave us a warning that said, you have to leave our country by tomorrow or you will suffer the consequences. So we had an armed guard to go to Benin the next day and get out of the place.
Wow.
But for the most part, it was non-consequential. We didn't have any problems. People loved him. And unlike other sitting former former presidents who run, you know, boards as a figure and get paid a lot of money, that never happened with him. Whoever he went, they paid for his plane fare and they paid for his lodging, and he didn't make any money. He could have made a ton of money like all former presidents. Not concerned about it. He just wanted to help people.
What do you think his legacy is going to be?
Well, you know, I hear on TV, I got a little tired. I knew what was coming, that, you know, they would talk about when he was president and how things just didn't work. And that was when I had an 18% mortgage rate myself, and it was a mess. And that, you know, it gets to you after a while. What about the rest? But I think the media's done a really good job to give him credit for. I tell the people I've spoken to in the media, if you took all the former presidents and what they accomplished in their life as former presidents, it wouldn't even equal what he alone and his wife did in his time. It was nonstop, just help people.
Danny, you mentioned the quiet time that you spent with him, right? The jogging time. We hear a lot about what President Carter, the deep man of faith, right, and what that he was. Can you testify that he was that same kind of guy that we hear about so much all the time?
Oh, sure. I remember one day we were jogging. He said, "You're Catholic, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Good, because the dogs down here in southern Georgia don't like Catholics." So, but he, of course, deeply religious. We went to a lot of his, you know, dealings at the Maranatha Church there in Plains. But one of the neat things that happened, we were jogging one day, and he said, "I understand you're going to build Sally a butcher block." My wife, and I said, "Oh yeah." Now, he was able to cut down trees and build all the furniture for his cabin. He could build every stick of piece of furniture in his house by hand. Sears gave him a whole bunch of equipment. So he said to me, "You're getting ready to leave my detail. I love your wife. We need to do something for her because she's had to put up with your nonsense." So he and I built a butcher block secretly in his garage. He didn't tell the boss. I didn't tell any of the other agents. It took us 3 days. Mrs. Carter brought us lunch every day. And he built, and I watched, basically. He gave me credit for it, to build this butcher block. And then the day we left the detail, he brought Sally. Sally came down to say goodbye to the family. And he presented to her and said, "It's yours. It's never been his, and that's the way it's going to be." Wow. So we have that in our house.
Where's your favorite place you traveled with President Carter?
I really liked Scandinavian countries, just the beauty of it. Couldn't afford to live there. We saw all of the Scandinavian countries. We went to China. I was fortunate enough to go to China in 3 different decades with 3 different presidents. Or former presidents. That was always fun because the country changed so much over the years. But wherever we went, we were well received, and it was very low key. I remember we went to Japan. They used to accuse me of looking like Jimmy Carter. And we went to Japan one time, and the Japanese photographer was taking pictures of me while I was waiting for him to come down from the suite. And I said, no, President Carter. And they thought that was pretty cool, you know, like, hey, smart idea. You get a Secret Service guy that looks like, you know, the president. So, and Mrs. Carter, one time when I was in the car, said to him, "You know, Jimmy, Denny really does favor you Carters," and he never answered. He didn't want that.
As I let you go, where can our listeners buy your book?
It's on Amazon. I wrote another book too that's fiction that's right there with it. But that book, Remarkably Unremarkable, is on sale for like $15, and we've done pretty well with it. I didn't market anywhere else. I did it for my family mostly, and it turned out it was well received, and it was a lot of fun. And it is mostly about my 25 years with the Secret Service.
Outstanding stuff. Danny Schledwein, former Secret Service agent, Clayton native. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me. You guys are good people.